from across the Volunteer State, the countdown to kickoff with your exclusive scouting report. Welcome to the coaches meeting. Coach to coach.
Pressure. Most intense pressure in Saturday night's playoff game between Ohio State and Tennessee sits clearly on the Ohio State Buckeyes. They're at home in front of a crowd that's seeing Michigan blue with a head coach who is under fire. Tennessee almost playing with house money as they enter the playoffs. Dave McGinnis, over the course of your coaching career in both college and pro football, how much impact does pressure really have on a football team?
You know, Larry, pressure really comes in two forms, external and internal. External pressure, you can't control unless you win every game. And you're not going to do that. You're not going to do that. So don't obsess over that. You learn that very quickly when you're coaching. Don't obsess over the external pressure. Now, you can control the internal pressure by being prepared. If you prepare properly, you're confident in your preparation, then you coach the game as it comes to you with confidence. Control what you can control.
Well, I think any big ball game, regardless of when you play it, especially at the college level, is there's pressure. There's pressure at Tennessee when you play Georgia and Alabama, and probably Florida and other teams also. You take Ohio State. They played under pressure this year, certainly Oregon, Michigan, those teams for sure, probably others. But there's no question that anytime you're in any type of one and done, and that's what this is right now, there's a lot of pressure. Now, the interesting thing to me has always been how the head coach handles it, because as we've talked so many times on this show, the head coach sets the tempo. He sets the agenda. How he handles things is going to filter down through his assistants and then all the way down to the players. So, but there's a lot of pressure in this ballgame. I think more so in what you kind of alluded to, Larry, for Ohio State. Ohio State was picked to possibly win the national championship coming in, to win the Big Ten for sure. Tennessee was coming in with, they had pressure to be a really good football team. They weren't picked to win the conference or probably even get to the college football playoffs that much. So there's a lot of pressure, individual players handle it. And you don't really ever know at this level, because most of these players have not been under the pressure that they're going to be under to win this Saturday.
The Buckeyes entered this season considered the most talented football team nationally, at least on paper. Doug, where are they most talented?
To me, though, it's their offense and defensive lines. The defensive line has 35 sacks. Now, this includes their front people, of course, and others. They've only given up 97 yards rushing. And then you flip it over on the other side, their offensive line has only allowed 13 sacks in 12 ball games. That's one sack a game, and without a really mobile quarterback in there. And they're rushing for 170 yards. So I think the two areas where they are most talented as a group, offensive line, defensive front.
Well, and I agree with that wholeheartedly. Of course, that's Big Ten football, and that's what you think of in Big Ten football. Now, the thing that has separated Ohio State over the years is they've had talented receivers, very talented receivers. Just look at the number of them that have gone on to play in the National Football League at a very high level. So I think the two fronts are very definitely, just because that's the world they live in, but they also have always had, recently, especially, the skill at the receiver position.
Dave, how has Chip Kelly's hiring as offensive coordinator, how's that impacted what they want to do offensively?
Well, you know, Chip has always been an RPO guy. Now, he's adjusted his RPO because he rode that scheme and that success at the collegiate level to an NFL head coaching job. But he has always been good. When he was in this league, you know, I've coached defense against him when he was in this league, very good at attacking defenses' pressure points. And what I mean by that, every defense has a go-to for their pressure point that they use. They use it in up front and also in coverage. You have to protect. You have to protect and defend against this. And the other thing is, his football teams offensively have always been extremely, extremely assignment sound. And the thing that happens sometimes, people will think that he's, you know, not quite opened up a lot, but he's very, very assignment sound.
The phrase most often heard around Tennessee football this week, healed up. In fact, I saw Dylan Sampson say it's the best that he's felt all year.
And you would think so. Remember, there's been 3 weeks. By the time this game is played, each one of these teams, as a matter of fact, Ohio State too, will have had 3 weeks off. So really, there's not going to be any excuses from an injury standpoint. Now, if you were out for the year and have one of those injuries, you were not going to play anyway. But I'm sure both these football coaches have made sure that the players, like a Dylan Sampson, who's a little bit beat up, most of these players are, your guys that play a lot, that they've really, particularly that first week off and maybe a lot of the second week, have been very careful with them. Listen, these teams are veteran teams. Now, they have some good young players, but they're veteran teams. These guys have been around a long time that are playing, and certainly the starters in these games. And they have experience in knowing kind of how to take care of their body. They don't need a whole lot of work. But that is a concern. There's still going to be – the injuries are going to play a factor in this ball game, and exactly where you are. Dylan Sampson's a great example. You know, had a hamstring problem in the last ball game. Has he healed up? Sounds like, from the way he's talking, that he has. But again, there's not going to be any excuse for being close to 100%. And one game, putting it all on the line, I think we're going to see that. That's why I think we're going to see a great game Saturday.
Well, Doug, both teams have been on an even keel. I mean, the time off is – and now I think it really depends, too, on how each coaching staff has used this time off.
Plenty more on this game just ahead. We'll break down the X's and O's. Also, our defensive lessons from this Tennessee season. But guys, this is, I think, the kind of matchup that college football leadership wanted when they created this expanded playoff system. Two teams that haven't played very often, two marquee brands that are known coast to coast.
Well, Larry, I think this is an ideal matchup for the powers that be that put this tournament in play. You got, as you said it, and you said it very right, two national brands, one on a home turf, two strong fan bases, national exposure. I mean, they're going to blow out television tubes, all the people that are going to have eyeballs on this ball game on TV. The stadium will be packed. I think this is exactly what they wanted.
Now, these two teams have never played in a regular season ball game. Now, a lot of that goes back to the fact, and it's one thing that we're going to be talking about in the future for sure, Big Ten, Southeastern Conference for years were kind of at each other's throats. A lot of it had to do with because both of them felt like they were the best conference in the country. We've seen a little bit more cooperation, a good bit more cooperation between the two with their commissioners, and I think we're going to start seeing some regular season games more like this. But, boy, you're right. You know, go back and think about the legendary coaches that coached for both of these football teams. You got Woody Hayes and you got Robert Nealon. You know, two of the – there's not anything like them. A Mount Rushmore, but they certainly would be considered for that on that side.
This is Coast to Coach with former University of Tennessee defensive coordinator Doug Matthews and former NFL defensive coordinator and head coach Dave McGinnis, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. In Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk.
When the arena lights dim for a concert or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
At Great Clips, they know you got a lot going on just like I have. That's why they save my haircut details and clip notes, so I can get the same haircut as the last time whenever I want. No stress, no worries, no questions asked. And with 60 salons in the Middle Tennessee area, it's easy to find a Great Clips location near you. I've been a client of Great Clips for over 10 years, and if you're looking for a great cut, simply download their online check-in app today. Great Clips, it's going to be great.
Whether you're a big-time college coach or run a business, success demands five-star talent. The same is true for your heavy lifting equipment. Hi, I'm Dwayne Hardy from Forklift Systems. Our team will perform a free productivity, safety, and cost analysis of your fleet. We'll identify your MVPs and let you know which equipment to trade or cut. Remember, if you're not improving, your competition is. Win championships with your customers. Visit ForkliftSystems.com today.
Tis the season for all of my favorite treats. Now, where are Grandma's homemade holiday cookies? hold up. Where are Grandma's cookies?
Easy, Joe. Grandma brought something even sweeter this season.
Your triple fudge brownies?
No, Joey. Holiday instant games from the Tennessee Lottery.
Made from scratch holiday wins? Grandma, you're a genius.
Give the gift of holiday instant games topped with sweet cash prizes. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Oh, what game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Offense needs to replace the offensive line going into the offseason. Quarterback needs to take the next step in his development. More depth in the wide receiver core. Those some of the lessons that our coaches outlined for the Tennessee offense heading into the 25 season. Today, our coach-to-coach lessons focus on the Vols' defense. The season really represented what Josh Heupel wanted from his defensive scheme when he came to Knoxville. Doug, the players really fit Tim Banks' profile.
And coming in, the first 3 years, this is Coach Heupel's fourth year, unquestionably there were better players that were at Tennessee and the ones that were coming in when he first got here on the offensive side of the football. The defensive side of the ball was really kind of struggled a little bit, primarily because of players. Well, that's changed now. Tim Banks and almost this entire defensive staff has been there for 4 years. They've recruited. They've hit the transfer portal. And right now, he has the players that fit what Coach Tim Banks wants to do. And most of it starts at the corner positions. They were unable to play a whole lot of man coverage effectively. That made him play a lot of zone. That limited what he could do. They now have the corners where they're able to play a lot of man coverage out there. And I think that's been, Mac, the biggest thing that has really kind of put this defense where one of the best in the country, because they have the ability now to take those two players outside, lock on those wide receivers, and use the other nine to do a lot of different things inside. They have not had that up until this year.
Well, and that was the key. I mean, we had talked about it on this program, you know, several years going into this year, that's what they needed, because that's what they want to do. And the big key to the defense, just as you said, Coach, with corners could match up in man-to-man, they addressed that. They addressed that this year. And then what you could see, you could take advantage of the numbers in rotation on the defensive line. You could now play the run because of that rotation on your defensive front with a six-man box, because you can play man-to-man on the outside. That was the two huge keys to the big success of this defense this year.
Well, and they took advantage of the rules in college football. Now, for that cornerback position, really three players out there, McCoy, Gibson, and McMurray. Two of them, McMurray and McCoy, transfer portal guys that came in, and Gibson was recruited. And again, they have the ability to play good, tough man-to-man coverage. That's been the biggest plus in this defense this year.
Yeah, and the player that stood out to me, you just mentioned him, number three, Jermaud McCoy, 39 tackles, 7 passes defensed. How long did we talk about defending the pass, being there and then making a play on the ball, 4 interceptions, for 71 yards, long of 54, to me, he stood out.
Made a bunch of big plays. First team All-Southeastern Conference. Been a while since Tennessee's had one of those at cornerback. Made a lot of big plays, a clear leader. And again, here's a good example of a young man coming out of high school. Was a quote, three-star. He transferred into Tennessee last spring. Had 2 years remaining. He's still got another year left. 2 years, excuse me. He's only a sophomore. I don't think there's any doubt. A lot of good players on this defense, but the one that kind of really set the tone was number three, Jermaud McCoy.
Not only did Tennessee play the scheme that they wanted, they were also able to take things to another level in that scheme. For example, Dave, their ability to get their hands on footballs.
I'm going to give you numbers, and numbers are important in that question, Larry. 11 interceptions, 43 passes defense this year as a team. That is a massive, massive improvement from what we've seen in the past. Big part of this defense's success.
Oh, hugely improved over the past years. A lot of reasons, but one big reason up front, a lot of pressure. We talk about and we kind of glorify sacks. But, you know, sometimes if you're playing a really good quarterback, he's not going to get sacked. So Mac just hit on what the key for a defensive coordinator, defensive play caller, is pressure. Every single position had passes knocked down, including up front, you know, the rushing. There was a lot of pressure up there, good coverage back in the back, more opportunities for interceptions, get the hands on the balls. And that I think, is the big, big key. Getting your hand on football doesn't mean you have to have an interception, but knocking them down, you know, not just getting there and making a tackle. That was much improved. A lot of it had to do with that front pressure, bringing rushing those four guys, and at times bringing another player or two. But that's, without question, defensively, was the biggest improvement of this team.
Doug, I mean, I'm curious from your standpoint as a longtime secondary coach, how much does technique play into knocking balls down or even coming up with interceptions?
Two things on that, and Mack was a secondary coach too. The difference between man coverage and zone coverage, you hear coaches talk a lot about eyes. It's where your eyes are. If you're playing man coverage, your eyes are on that man that you're covering. If you're playing zone coverage, your eyes are on that quarterback. So there's more opportunities to break on the football in zone because you got everybody looking at the quarterback and seeing where he's going to throw it. The guy that taught me how to play secondary, the guy that I tried to coach just like, used to say this, and I believe it very strongly. If you're playing man coverage, you're really looking more to knock passes down than to get interceptions because you're playing that man-to-man, you're looking at him. In zone coverage, that's where you have an opportunity to go break on the football and make a play. So that's the big difference there. Man coverage, you would like to get some interceptions, but the key is keeping the receiver from catching the ball, more deflections, more knockdown passes. Most interceptions in college come when you're playing zone coverage, not man coverage.
Now the challenge, Dave, is to keep the cupboard full of corners and safeties.
You never have enough of these guys. You got to continue to stock this position. You can't stay stagnant in the secondary. You just cannot. You can never have too many, and with the skill sets that you're looking for, and especially that is critical to this scheme.
Yeah, and this team this year, four of the five starters, including the nickelback, he was a high school freshman coming in from high school. Four of them are transfer portal players. That's the beautiful thing about the transfer portal player now that you can bring in when you see what they've done maybe at another program. So that's been the big plus for Tennessee exclusively this year. Their secondary, primarily backups and starters, came out of the transfer portal.
The other part of this scheme that we're talking about, and you've already alluded to it, but Dave, you got to hold up front to be able to do the things they want to do in the secondary.
Two things, defensive front in talent and in numbers. It's a huge key to being able to pressure up front with four. Quantity depth and quality depth of those dudes up front. Then here's two things it does for you. First of all, if you've got that quality and quantity of depth, those guys can max out when they're in there. Because the more that you can rush with four and be able to take care of the run and the throw with a six-man front, the more that you can do with your coverage. And so it's critical. I mean, that was the backbone of this team this year, was the depth and the quality and quantity of players up front.
Well, Mack hit it right on the head. There's no doubt about that. And I put a lot of this. Tim Banks had a lot to do with his coordinator. This is all Rodney Garner, most of it. He played consistently at the four positions up front, 13 or 14, at times even more than 15 players. He kept them fresh, had a couple of really great players up there, but most of them were just good old work guys that fundamentally were sound. And the number one thing of every position on the football field, the one that is the most taxing during the ball game is the defensive line, because they have to rush the passer. Then they have to turn and run and get in a pursuit. So I think Rodney Garner's way ahead of a lot of defensive line coaches in this country in football. I think you're going to see more and more do that. He plays a lot of players. And the thing is, it's easy to play a lot of players when you're ahead. It's not so easy when you're right in the middle of a ballgame. He puts these guys in there no matter where they are, any place in the ballgame, keeps them fresh, and it was a big, huge plus for the success of Tim Banks' defense this year.
Let's turn our attention to the Tennessee linebacker core. Major injury loss relatively early on in the season, and yet, Doug, this group was able to overcome it.
Well, this is the one area where the transfer portal helped in a starter, but where the high school recruiting has really paid off for Tennessee. Keenan Peely, clearly the leader of this defense coming in. You know, transfer player got hurt, the second ball game, out for the entire season. That forced them to go with younger players, and those younger players stepped up. The majority of the players were sophomores and even a freshman that played in this group. And this, again, is the area where really good recruiting evaluation came in. And then Tiesham, they got better and better as the year went along. Certainly when you're playing and you haven't played a whole lot, you're a younger player, you're going to make mistakes. But this group at the end of the year was playing really well.
Well, the guy that stood out to me, talk about development, was number 22, Jeremiah Thielander. 6'2", 238, sophomore, 33 tackles, half a sack, 3 fumble recoveries. He was around the ball, 1 pass defensed. I agree with what you're saying, Coach. Those guys developed as they were playing, and they stepped up. There was not a drop-off. They got better.
Arian Carter, Jeremiah Thielander, 2 young men who were sophomores this year. Thielander, by the way, his father is a former football coach, so he showed a lot of that. Carter was probably the top recruit coming in 2 years ago. He's from right here in Middle Tennessee. And he has the potential to be an outstanding player. But that was the area where you saw them grow. We talk about difficult positions to play. There's not an easy position to play in today's college football. But linebacker is probably the toughest. As Mac knows so well because he coached that position too, you have to be able to play the run. You have to be able to play the pass. And you have to be able to play when you don't know if it's a run or a pass. It is a position that I think is the most vital area where experience is so key. You can tell the defensive back, hey, you got number 22, take him all over the field. You can tell the defensive lineman, hey, rush that number 7, that quarterback. Linebackers, they have to be able to do both, and they have to do it very, very – and many times they have to go up against Mac, a 200, 300-pound lineman, and then the next play they may have to cover – 185 scat back coming out of the backfield. It is a tough place to play. Tennessee this year really got better and better and better at that position.
Well, what they need going forward, they need to continue to add to the depth of it, and then they need guys, and they did it. They did it with the young guys they brought in. They've got coverage ability, and every one of them is what I call a quick trigger guy. They're quick. They've got good quick triggers as far as, you know, there's not a whole lot of hezzy in their play. They're going to play a lot of six-man front versus the run because of the way they play in the back end. And you have to have instinctive, key, and diagnosed players here. That's what you're looking for.
Well, you got Carter coming back and Thielander. Those are probably going to be the 2 starters coming back, which we talked about. They got also a Perry coming back who is a third year in the program. They use him a lot in passing situations. Then Edwin Spillman, redshirt freshman who was so highly recruited, got hurt this year, but is back, by the way, for the bowl game. And then they got a young man in Burns who's a redshirt freshman. So there's 5 players that'll be coming back for those 2 positions that have been recruited by Tennessee. All these are high school recruits, and they are very, very talented players. This should be a strength position next year.
Driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. Coach to Coach continues inside the coach's meeting room for real analysis.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
There are a lot of physical therapists in Tennessee, and you don't want to go to a therapist. You want to choose the therapist that is right for you. This is Charles Davis. I had injuries in my playing days and valued the importance of a quality rehab program. I know and trust these folks, which is why I would choose Star when in Tennessee, and you should too. Their clinicians have world-class advanced training to make them great mechanics of the human body and to get you better fast. Find a Star location near you at starpt.com.
When it's time for the big game, big fans need big TVs, and at Double Dogs, you can even satisfy big appetites. With choices like Black Angus burgers, wings tossed in homemade sauces, and dog bowl nachos, well, Double Dogs will make sure you get the fuel you need for lunch, dinner, or even a post-game snack. So whether you have two legs or four, you can cheer on and chow down at Double Dogs. Visit DoubleDogs.biz to view the menu and order online. Double Dogs, sit, stay, eat.
You know, starting to save for your future doesn't have to be difficult. Let Wilson Bank and Trust help tone up your financial goals this year. Our certificates of deposits or CDs can help your money work harder with our competitive rates, earning you more than ever before. WBT checking options allow you to earn rewards you can really use, like a high interest rate or cash back on check card purchases when you meet some e-banking qualifications. Visit your closest Wilson Bank and Trust office or online at wilsonbank.com to get started today. Member FDIC.
As we approach the first games of the new playoff era, we look at Tennessee's defensive lessons. This is Coach to Coach. Still some issues with running quarterbacks. Doug Matthews, what specifically?
The thing that that a running quarterback does, and let's kind of differentiate between a quarterback who will run, pull the ball down and run, and those who, as part of the offensive scheme, is to run the football. And the biggest thing defensively is, if you're trying to play man coverage, you don't have anybody who's playing man coverage on the guy with the ball, quarterback. So if he keeps the ball, or if he's a good runner, it really puts pressure on your up front folks who have to defend against that, because they're probably not as athletic as he is. That was a problem this year. I think it's a problem really for every defensive team. It's a position where the defensive coordinator really has to do a good job of mixing up man coverage, zone coverage, down and distance, those types of things. But there's no doubt that a running quarterback, one that can really pick up key yardage, they're tough to handle from a defensive side of the football.
Well, that needs to be solidified, especially when rushing four. And we're not talking about plus one-ing. When you're plus one, if you're playing an option team, which a lot of these RPO teams are, especially in the collegiate game. There's a few of them in the National Football League. But when you're playing, when you're just playing, you're rushing four and you're playing the run with a six-man box, you've got to cage rush mobile quarterbacks, especially when you've got those four men up front and they're the ones taking care of the five gaps. That's when you can run two- and three-man games to cancel gaps inside. But the solid contain on the outside and being able to speed to power or even speed rush, but you can't run the big hump and get past the launch point. That's a big key, because there's gaps that open up to the outside when you run the hump on a speed rush on the outside. So all of that stuff has to be, it has to be coordinated. We called it cage rushing, and cage rushing was not it was an aggressive rush, but you did it with an idea in mind that you're going to build a cage around him, especially from the outside for the launch point.
Going back and looking at the lessons we talked about each week on this show defensively, there were two or three that popped up all the time. One we just discussed. The other was the defensive run fits between the linebackers and that drop-down safety who has to come up in that box on certain run situations. That's where the fundamentals come in, and that's where some of the youth that we talked about at the linebacker spot hurt Tennessee early. They got better with that, but having a body, having a hat in every gap, that is key. When you don't have one, when you have two going through a gap, or maybe you don't have enough to cover every gap, that's when the good running backs, the good running game, and even quarterback, when they're running, that's where they get the big plays. When you get out of your gaps, that was a lesson every single week to get better at. I think the youth part of it had a lot to do with Tennessee, but not doing it quite as well early. It's always going to be a problem. It's one of the fundamental things that you have to do is make sure you have a hat in every gap of offense, especially in the running situations.
Yeah, and let's just take that to another level, too, because what teams do – now, you know, people are still running the inside and the outside zone, but what is becoming very prevalent for everybody is the gap scheme. And when a gap scheme means you're gonna go down on one side and then have one or two pullers or sometimes tight ends coming behind the line of scrimmage into crunch to be an extra blocker. That is where your eye discipline comes in, and especially between the second and the third level, because now you have to jump and replace gaps. You've got to replace gaps. You can't just go straight ahead. If people are just running inside and outside zone at you, well, then you could line up one back, one gap, and fire it. But if they're pulling gap schemes, then you've got to be able to replace gaps, and that's what you have to learn to do in unison.
The third lesson almost every single week was outside defenders keeping the ball inside, leverage. Whoever is responsible for that outside zone and pass or that outside rusher in rushing in, on a quarterback and in, back and pass, their job is to keep that ball inside of them. Nothing gets inside of you. That broke down at times, and it's kind of difficult to do in some coverages. But those three lessons that we just talked about, the probably the keeping the ball inside where the other players are, your rule is if you're the outside contain guy, the guy setting the edge, the guy keeping leverage, there's one of you, there's 10 of your buddies inside. Make that ball go back inside where all your help is.
Well, there's never been a defense design that doesn't have leverage. There's never has been. And whether you're in man, whether you're in zone, whether you're blitzing, whether you're zone pressuring from one side or the other, you always have leverage on both sides of the line of scrimmage. And then once your leverage is established, that's where the pursuit that coach is talking about comes in. But holding leverage, and look, you can't just run up the field and go to the sideline and say, well, I'm outside of everything. You've got to squeeze leverage. You've got to squeeze leverage, and you've got to push it back in to where everybody else is coming from. And you do that different ways with different players, but there's never been a defense designed that didn't have a leverage player assigned.
On the defensive front, Dave McGinnis, who impressed you with their play, especially at the development of how they developed during the course of this season?
Well, the two guys that stood out, number 27, James Pierce Jr., he still developed his game on the edge. He's not only a speed guy around the edge, he's a speed to power guy too. 35 tackles, 7.5 sacks, 1 forced fumble, 1 fumble recovery, 1 pass defense, 6'5", 243. He's just about exactly what you want on the edge because he's got that Gumby ability to bend that inside knee to the ground. I call it the motorcycle lean. That guy, and then on the inside was, to me, was Omar Norman Lott. Coach had talked about earlier, just workmanlike guys. 18 tackles, 4 sacks, 6'3", 315 pounds. He's a senior, but he held that interior together.
Omari Thomas, clearly the leader of this defense. Bryson Eason, just two to talk about. Mac mentioned Omari Norman Lott. Again, getting back to the number of players that Coach Garner plays is kind of a key to this. But a lot of players played really well up front. I would say, though, your leaders, Omari Thomas and Bryson Eason, James Pierce, his numbers went down a little bit in sacks, which everybody likes to talk about. But if you watched him play, and how many times on this show after a Tennessee game, Mac, did we talk about him being, he is a disruptor. When they bring him inside, he disrupts things. When they bring him outside, he disrupts things.
This was the backbone of this team the entire season. This collective front, they carried this team on their back, and they carried this team throughout all the schemes that they played, the different weeks that they played. The running game on offense, but this group up front on defense, they were the guys.
Mitchell Omari Thomas, guys are not going to be back next year. And the good thing is, again, going back to the number of players that Coach Garner played, when you're playing 14, 15 players every single ball game, you're going to have some experience there. Older players, we anticipate. Pierce has another year. We anticipate him probably leaving on that. Omari Thomas will be gone. Bryson Eason is going to be the interesting thing. He can leave if he wants to, but he has another year coming back. Very talented inside player. He can play both that strong rush end, defensive end, or also move inside. Those three in particular, there's a couple of younger guys in West who really had a good year this year, getting better. But while Tennessee is losing a couple of really top quality players, and probably Pierce and Thomas, they got a lot of young depth coming back in this, even some young men that we don't know too much about.
Would defensive tackle, Doug, be an area where the Vols might look in the transfer portal?
Well, that is an area where everybody looks for, because there's not many of them out there, and there's not many that enter the transfer portal, quite frankly, and that are at the top level. If you are a top defensive lineman, that's like a quarterback. If you can rush the quarterback on defense, that's a big need. Not many of those players are going to be available out there. But if you look back, that is an area. All 4 years, that Coach Heupel has been at Tennessee, that is one position where he has brought in a transfer portal player every single year. So, yes, I would anticipate that they probably will bring one in. Now, the good news is now they had to bring players in to kind of have bodies to come in and play. That's no longer true. They have good depth in that position now, but I would anticipate if there's a really excellent edge rusher out there, they'll probably do that, and certainly an inside player. And one key thing now that where Tennessee is in their transfer portal area, because of the youth that they brought in, you can also bring those transfer portal players in that are not just one-year players, Mac. They can come in and provide you with some depth, kind of like the Moai kid did this year. Long answer to say, yes, I think that's a position they certainly will probably bring somebody in at.
Well, Coach, you bring up a great point, because interior players, defensive front players, are so critical all across the Power Four that if you've got a horse there, they're going to get paid where they are. Let's just put it out there like it is. But the blueprint for the kind of player Tennessee wants in the front, they want speed and length off the edge. That's the number one thing that they need speed and length off the edge. But those guys inside, because of the way they play, and they play with four, the knockback strength and the anchor inside, they also are looking for guys. The intrinsic value of guys they're looking for, they got to have hot motors. They got to have guys that will go, because that's the way they're coached. They are coached with a hot motor type. I mean, they need numbers because of the way they play.
Driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, this is Coach to Coach. Our coaches are ready with lessons, X's and O's, and insight.
Fill the halls with shouts of winning, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Tis the season to be giving, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Instant games to friends and family, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Join the joyous cash prize carol, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
With top prizes up to $500,000, holiday instant games from the Tennessee Lottery make grand gifts. Find them at your nearest Tennessee Lottery retailer today. Please play and gift responsibly.
When it's time for the big game, big fans need big TVs, and at Double Dogs, you can even satisfy big appetites. With choices like Black Angus burgers, wings tossed in homemade sauces, and dog bowl nachos, well, Double Dogs will make sure you get the fuel you need for lunch, dinner, or even a post-game snack. So whether you have two legs or four, you can cheer on and chow down at Double Dogs. Visit DoubleDogs.biz to view the menu and order online. Double Dogs. Sit. Stay. Eat.
Whether you're a big-time college coach or run a business, success demands five-star talent. The same is true for your heavy lifting equipment. Hi, I'm Dwayne Hardy from Forklift Systems. Our team will perform a free productivity, safety, and cost analysis of your fleet. We'll identify your MVPs and let you know which equipment to trade or cut. Remember, if you're not improving, your competition is. Win championships with your customers. Visit ForkliftSystems.com today.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
Tennessee and Ohio State, just the second meeting between these two programs. Last one came in 1996. This is Coach to Coach. Buckeyes averaging 35 points per game, giving up just over 10. Dave McGinnis, what is the hallmark of this defense this year?
Yeah, well, let's talk about Coach Jim Knowles. And he has said this defense is built for tempo offenses. And he got this directive from Coach Cutcliffe at Duke when he was working for him, because that's what was going on. Now, Knowles' background is rooted in the ACC and the Big 12. Those feature wide-open offenses much more on a general consensus than the Big 10 does, okay? So here's what's going to have to happen. All of Ohio State starters on defense are upperclassmen. So the calls come in quick on this defense. You can see that on the film. and they only allow 10.9 points per game. They're not very complicated, but they are very, very sound defensively.
Their game is this, overall thinking, defensively. Stop the run, which they do. They're giving up less than 100 yards a game. That puts the offense in situations where they have to throw, and then they have a great pressure package. They have 35 sacks. 35 sacks and 20, at least 20 quarterback hurries. That's five a game, either sacks or quarterback hurries, and that is the big key for this defense on that. Pressure from the edge, 21 of their sacks come from either their edge rusher, defensive end, safety, or a linebacker. So what does that tell you? When you get behind the chains against these guys, and that's why they put so much emphasis on stopping the run, when you get in passing situations, you're going to have players that can rush the passer coming from all over the place.
Well, and just to that point, let me give you a guy on the front seven. I'm talking about the front seven. Cody Simon, the linebacker, number zero, 6'2", 235, 74 tackles. He's the leading tackler, but he's got five sacks. So that just tells you, that just emphasizes that point that Coach just brought up. They get you behind the chains. They are bringing heat. He's also got a forced fumble, got a fumble recovery, got five passes defensed. This is a good defense.
They've got an excellent pressure package. That's why Nico is going to have to do a really good job of recognizing what coverage is coming, because if not, they're going to be getting that ball out of there quick.
Yeah, the pressure on the Vols' offensive line is going to come from the edge. Jack Sawyer, number 33, is a defensive end. He's a senior. 6'6", 260, 46 tackles, 4.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 1 interception. Go on the other edge. JT Tuimolo, defensive end, number 44, senior. 6'6", 269, 38 tackles, 6 sacks, 1 forced fumble.
So the question becomes, how is Tennessee, Coach Heupel, Coach Halsey, how are they going to answer that pressure? Well, for Tennessee, they have an answer for it, because they're one of the team in the country, most of all the teams in the country. They'll play a lot of two tight ends. So they can get 7 blockers up there in their two tight ends. Both of them are very good at catching the ball. Especially Kitzelman is outstanding catcher. So not only do they have that, the ability to protect with and get help on those passing game, Mac, they also have the running game out of that, which is the staple of Tennessee, getting Sampson going. But again, at some point, maybe many points in a ball game, and Ohio State's going to have this problem too. You're going to be in situations where you have to throw the football. I would suspect in there that Tennessee will have at least one tight end, and maybe two tight ends there to help those edge rushers. We talk about everything coming out from the edge. That's where you have to have two really good blockers. Running back's difficult for a running back, even Sampson, who's a good blocker, to block one of those outside rushers because of the size, strength, and speed factor.
Yeah, and then to run the football now, and here's what Coach is talking about. If they play multiple tight ends, the Vols, which they've done all year, they got to get their gap scheme going. They're going to get some misdirection going in this thing to get multiple pullers and make the linebackers and the safeties have to replace gaps. As we talked about earlier in this program, they need to make a misfit some.
You know, looking at the stats for Ohio State, I almost did a double take. The Buckeyes have only allowed 4 passing touchdowns this season. That's amazing.
Well, it really is. When you think about 12 ball games in the pass defensive area, that tells you how good they are in coverage, people, and man coverage. Tennessee's going to see a lot of man coverage, especially down inside the 20-yard line.
Well, to me, when you start looking and you start looking through their games, they keep teams behind the chains a lot because of the defense that they play on first and second down. That's a huge, huge key. This is Ohio State defense.
Well, in their secondary, 2 safeties in particular. They're a safety-oriented coverage team because, again, they play a lot of man coverage outside, but they got 2 safeties, and both of them are transfer guys. Tennessee's very well aware of Caleb Downs. He came transferred in from Alabama. They've seen him play the last couple of years. Sonny Styles, he is the leading tackler back there. So those 2 safeties, they are very active. You're not going to see them back there playing too deep with these 2 guys. They're up there in the middle of the run game. They pressure with them from the outside. 2 safeties again. That's the key to recognizing what they're doing on defense, Downs and Styles, and they are both outstanding. They'll be playing on Sunday next year.
No, absolutely. Look, Tennessee's key to finding spots to throw the ball, it comes down to two things, protection and timing. You cannot be late on throws against these guys. The quarterback must be able to manipulate the pocket, and he also must be able to identify where the pressure is coming from on throwing downs. And then your accuracy against these dudes has to be on point.
All right, let's turn to offense now. Three receiving targets that you've got to watch on Ohio State's offense.
Well, the guy that I look at that impresses me the most, and you're right, there's three targets that they've got to cover, but Jeremiah Smith, number four, the wide receiver, he's a freshman. 6'3", 215. He's got 57 catches. He's a freshman. 934 yards. Over a 16-yard average, 10 touchdowns, long of 70. They also use him on some jet sweeps and stuff. He's got four rushes for 47 yards for about a 12-yard average. This is the dude to me.
Now, they got a guy back there under center, Will Howard. I don't know what year this is for him. He started 3 years at Kansas State. I'm talking about started as in started. He was a starting quarterback. Fifth-year guy at least. Really an excellent game day quarterback, 70% pass completion, outstanding, 27 TDs to 8 interceptions, outstanding. That's on 314 throws. The advantage should be at the quarterback position, as far as experience go for Ohio State. This guy gets him in and out of bad plays. He's not going to get you beat, and he is very capable of winning ball games for you. That's a big plus at the quarterback position for Ohio State.
He's a veteran guy. I watched him play at Kansas State, and he's continued. He's not going to panic. You're going to get no panic out of this dude. This is a veteran, composed quarterback. And so anything that you rattle him with, you're going to have to earn it, because this guy is probably as solid as anybody they have, and that's where you want to be solid, is at that quarterback position.
Their offensive line, big, physical, as you would expect, excellent, excellent pass blockers. We talked about giving up very, very few sacks, and that's with a quarterback that's really not all that mobile. So they're big up front. There's a reason why both these teams are in the college football playoff. Both of them are really good football teams, and both of them have offensive lines that can execute exactly what their offensive coordinator wants to do, especially Ohio State.
No, this is a big matchup. And the thing about it is both of these fronts that we're talking about are in the top tier in the country as far as their fronts. So for the Vols to be able to get a matchup for their rush games and their rush, the way they rush, they've got to play the run on first and second down. They've got to get them in third and chains, and that's the way they're going to get a rush, is they've got to play good first and second down defense.
Play two running backs primarily. Between them, they have a rush for 129 yards a game for both of them. The Judkins juncture, he's an Ole Miss transfer. So while Tennessee has not played against him, they certainly know who he is and has tape on him and probably has talked to some folks who – kind of know a little bit about how to handle him. Henderson's the other one. They're going to run the ball. Those two guys are probably going to run the football somewhere 23, 25 plays. That's probably what we're going to see. Both of them are really good pass protectors. They're veteran football players. Don't turn the ball over much. Don't lay it on the ground much. And again, I would think in this ball game, Judkins was an all-SEC player before he transferred out of Ole Miss last year. Big-time football player. I would expect that Tennessee will see a good bit of him.
Tablet, clicker, game film. You're in the coach's meeting. Coach to coach, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
When the arena lights dim for a concert, or when the crowd becomes one at a big game, you can almost feel like you're the biggest fan. But who's your biggest fan? It's the person that will get you home safely after a night of drinking. It's the person who looks out for your life to make sure you leave the stadium with someone sober. This could be a designated driver or someone who offers to get you a rideshare. Because in Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
You know, starting to save for your future doesn't have to be difficult. Let Wilson Bank and Trust help tone up your financial goals this year. Our certificates of deposits or CDs can help your money work harder with our competitive rates, earning you more than ever before. WBT checking options allow you to earn rewards you can really use, like a high interest rate or cash back on check card purchases when you meet some e-banking qualifications. Visit your closest Wilson Bank and Trust office or online at wilsonbank.com to get started today. Member FDIC.
At Great Clips, they know you got a lot going on just like I have. That's why they save my haircut details and clip notes, so I can get the same haircut as the last time whenever I want. No stress, no worries, no questions asked. And with 60 salons in the Middle Tennessee area, it's easy to find a Great Clips location near you. I've been a client of Great Clips for over 10 years, and if you're looking for a great cut, simply download their online check-in app today. Great Clips. It's going to be great.
Pay the order of hope, promise, tomorrow. For years, the Tennessee Lottery has written some pretty big checks, but it turns out that our biggest winner continues to be education. In fact, we've raised more than $7.5 billion and provided more than 2 million scholarships and grants for Tennessee students. Learn more about how lottery dollars are making a difference at tnlottery.com. It's game-changing, life-changing fun.
It's in the college football playoffs for the Tennessee Vols, Saturday night finale with Ohio State. One of the criticisms of the previous coaching staff in Knoxville was an inability to develop players. What I'm hearing from both of you, even in our conversation last week talking offense, both sides of the ball, guys that got better not only from season to season, but as the season wore on.
Well, to quote the great Bill Belichick, that is your job as an assistant coach. Your job is to take whatever you have and make it better. If you got a pretty good player, you got to make him into an average player. If you got an average player, you got to make him into a better player. Hopefully you're recruiting enough really good players that you need to develop. And if you can't do that, well, you're probably not going to be coaching very long. That is your job. And Tennessee, almost in every single area, the only area where I don't think there was much development was in the offensive line. Six of them are going to be gone next year. Who the players are behind them, I couldn't really tell you right now, other than just read some names that are on the depth chart. Right now, they have a lot of strength in a lot of areas because they developed that depth in almost every single area on the team.
No player that comes in to a Power Four program is fully developed as to the type of player that he can be, regardless of position. But you also need numbers to be able to develop. That's what they've got to keep up.
The winning numbers, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $7.5 billion for education in Tennessee.
The number is 88. The Ohio State defense has allowed just 88 red zone points this season. In 7 of the 29 trips, teams didn't score.
When I was at Tennessee offensively, when we played a team that was so good inside the 20, we tried to set up where we scored outside the 20. So I think what you'll see a little bit of Tennessee is, in this sense, is you'll probably see them trying to get scores from the 30, 25. In other words, throw the ball deep when you get near the 20, because they are as good as Tennessee is running the football. Ohio State is every bit as good at stopping the run.
The number is 72. Will Howard completing 72% of his passes. Dave, how do you get him off his game?
Play the run well. You've got to play the run well. Get him behind the chains. Then the cage rush that we talked about, you can have no extended routes off schedule. You can't let that happen to you. And then when you're making the ball come out quick, if you're playing it correctly, you got to spot tackle. They're going to complete some of the shorter routes in this offense, the way it's set up. They're going to complete some of those, but no big explosive runs after catch. That's huge.
Coach to coach, driven by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. In Tennessee, fans don't let fans drive drunk. Podcast the show now and catch up before kickoff, where you find podcasts. Coach to coach.